Trish, and so we're going to spend some time thinking about that as we go on through this morning. You know, I could cut myself and bleed. I could be doing something really good and end up cutting myself and bleeding, and my bleeding wouldn't benefit myself. It wouldn't benefit you. It wouldn't do anything to wash away your sins. We talk about the blood of Jesus, and I don't know. It says that Jesus lived a perfect life in the Bible, and I don't know if as a little boy he fell and skinned his knee or cut himself when he's playing with his friends. But when we talk about the blood of Jesus being shed for us, what we really mean is that Jesus died, and he died a perfect, sinless death, and he was resurrected again. He rose from the dead, and in that death and resurrection, he conquered sin and death. It's just an incredible thing for us to rejoice in. This morning I would like to preach a little bit about the power of Christ, and then we will move into the baptism time frame. Jesus had power over all kinds of things. We're going to list them here for a little bit, but I want to start with Mark chapter 2 and Mark chapter 4, just reading two things that account Jesus' power. Later on, we're going to talk about miracles and some of the miracles that Jesus did. But here's two of them. Mark chapter 2, you can turn with me. This is the story where Jesus healed one who was sick of a palsy. And he was born in, had to do something with his muscles. He couldn't walk. And so he was carried in on a bed frame by four of his friends, and the house was full, and so they couldn't get him in through the door, so they uncovered the roof and they let him down through. And then in verse 5 it says, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven him, be given you. And then the scribes and the Pharisees were there. They had an issue with this, like, why is this man forgiving sin? It says, who does this man thus speak? Why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Let's keep reading there. Verse 8, and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, your sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. All right, we're talking about the power of Jesus. And here Jesus healed the sick man, saying, your sins are forgiven you, so that they would know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. Then we go on to Mark chapter 4. And I don't know what it is about us. We know that Jesus has power to forgive sins, and I don't know that we're always as awed by that as by the fact that in the next story, Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves and the water got calm, and we're like, wow, that's amazing. You know, even the disciples said, what manner of man is this, that he speaks to the wind and the wind stops? So in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, it says, on the same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and said unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said unto one another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? So there's two stories, one very spiritual and one very physical. Jesus had power in both of those situations. The text this morning is from Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and I want to read verses 7 through 14. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, that I may count them but dung, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, or either were already made perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forth to the things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And what I would like us to see is that the power of God is beyond simply forgiving sins and having power over death or being able to do miracles on the water. But Christ has the power to give us his Holy Spirit and to give us the ability to walk in freedom and walk in newness of life, that part of the power of Christ. We come to Christ in faith. We don't do that ourselves. But the same faith that saves us is also the same faith that gives us the ability to walk in righteousness. And so let's not try to walk in righteousness on our own when we're trusting in Christ for salvation. What difference does the power of Christ make in my life and in your life? What does the power of Jesus do? I would like to consider these ideas for a little bit this morning. Number one is Jesus has power over creation. Two, there are signs and miracles. We have things that Jesus did that are of a miraculous happening. And there is power over sin and its penalties. Four, let's move that one on down. Next one is endurance in the faith. Endurance and transformation, or we could use the word sanctification, how he changes us. And then finally, power over death. Psalm 33, verse 9, thinking about creation, the first one there, says, "For he spoke and it came into being. He commanded it and it stood firm. For he spoke and all things came into being." Hebrews 1:3 says, "Who for being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power." God is holding. God spoke the world into being, and by his power, he is holding it all in place. It isn't that the natural world just sort of happens. There is an intelligent being out there. Colossians 1:17 says, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." That verse means that Jesus is the creator, and he is sustaining the creating world. When that word consist is in there, it means that it is a sustaining thing that continues to happen. It's a sustaining creative power that he has in the world. By him, all things continue and endure and are sustained throughout the ages. So he has power over creation. Then we talk about miracles. Last night when the young people did their dinner for us, there was a question about how many miracles are in the Bible. And I forget what that number was. What did we say it was? 40? 37. So that's what I have written here. Something like 37 happenings or healings that are recorded in the four Gospels. I've also written down here that there are 23 individuals who are listed as being healed by Jesus in the New Testament. But then there's also passages that tell us that there was times that he did series of healings and miracles that are without number. And so we have no idea how many people Jesus healed and how many miracles were performed while he walked here. We are impressed by miracles, and I could tell you a number of stories where in my life, as things happened, as we were raising our children and doing life, that I would look back and say that, I don't know, I can't prove it, but that seems like that was a miracle. Like this happened, and I just don't, there's no explanation for it, all right? And those stories are fun to talk about, but the thing that I want to challenge us with is the change in my life that takes me from being angry to gentle or from proud to humble is more of a miracle than what Christ does, than the things that we see that are like, wow, how did that happen? That God changes our hearts, that God changes our life and gives us the ability to walk in his ways is even more of a miracle. So there is miracle signs and wonders, but that isn't the whole story. Let's go on to talk about power over sin and its penalties. We read Mark 2, verse 10, where it says that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Turn with me now to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I would like to read verses 21 through 25. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. This verse talks about us being dead to sin, but we are now alive. We are dead in sin, and now we are alive unto righteousness. He bore our sins in his own body. Over in Romans chapter 6, there's a lot that we can look at. We're not going to take time to read that whole passage, but I want to pull out of Romans 6 a number of facts about Jesus being able to conquer sin. In chapter 6 of Romans, verse 2, talks about being dead to sin. How shall we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? God intends for us to have victory over sin. As Christ has had power over sin, that power is available to us. We can walk in freedom from sin. We don't have to keep going on as we always were. Verse 4 talks about, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, and so we died in Christ. But as Christ was raised from the dead, even so we also can walk, are raised to walk in newness of life. I was looking for the verse here that talks about the body of sin being destroyed. Where's that one? Verse 6? Yeah, verse 6. Though knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. I think that verse is significant to us, because many times we walk through life and we know as Christians that we are still tempted, and there's still times that we fail, and we wonder why. Well, now if I'm walking in Christ, why am I not living a perfect life? All right? We still live in a sin-cursed world. We're still human. We're not God. And so we still walk in weakness. But when we come to Christ and we have the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us, this verse tells me that the body of sin or the sin nature has taken a death blow. And now I actually have the ability to say no to sin. When I walk in the natural man, I don't even have the ability to say no to sin. I'm going to sin. I'm going to fall. I'm going to be there. And I might not even care. In boxing, we call it KO'd. The guy's down for the count. And our sin nature, because of Christ and his righteousness in us, has KO'd the sin nature within us. We now have the ability to walk in victory. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We're not bound. That power of sin has been broken. Now my notes are out of order. Verse 9 talks about that knowing that Christ being raised from dead dieth no more, and death hath no more dominion over him. Talking about the power of Christ, and this verse tells us that death no longer has dominion. Verse 11 says, reckon yourselves to be dead to sin. And then verse 14 says, sin has no more dominion over you. First we read that death has no dominion over him, and now verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, you are now under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. God intends for us to live righteously. And then verse 18, no more servants to sin, free. Now we are servants of righteousness. Thinking about endurance to the end, power to finish the race. As an athlete trains and trains his body and regulates what he eats and regulates how he sleeps, an athlete puts everything in. An Olympic runner puts everything into his running. When I was in school, I have short legs, so I really don't do well in the 40-yard dash or 50-meter run. Those are 10-second things that are just like right from the get-go. And I like to do those, but I didn't do very well with them. But if you put me on an 880-meter dash or the half-mile run, then I could stay and stay and stay. And God wants us in our Christian lives to be able to stay. He wants us to be able to endure to the end. And the Christian life is likened to a farmer. It's likened to an athlete who trains. When you get to that long part of the race, there comes a point. I think back to game in school. We ran around the four corners of that property. And I remember what it felt like coming into that third corner. Like, you were done. Your body was done. Your legs were starting to burn. And at that point, it wasn't the physical training that took my legs to the finish line. It was the grit that comes from inside that you see you're in second place, and if you're going to get in the first place, you're going to have to put out more to get past that first place runner and move yourself along. And that power that comes from within, I would like to liken to the Holy Spirit within us. The power to run the Christian life is going to come from within. It's not going to come from sheer determination that I'm a Christian and I ought to live a certain way. The power to endure and finish the race is a power that Christ gives us through the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. And the power to finish the race comes from within. Jesus' power gives us that ability to change, to be sanctified, and to be transformed. The same power that saves us is the same power that keeps us in the love of Christ. Do not think that somehow we must come to Christ for cleansing and then we go off in our own strength to walk in his ways. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. It's no longer my natural man who is living, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live in the flesh. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Number 5, power over death. This is one of those miraculous things. It is not ever once known that someone would die and come back to life on their own. It just doesn't happen. While Jesus was here on earth, we have recorded I believe in Scripture, three persons that he raised from the dead, Lazarus, Jairus' daughter, and the son of the widow of Nain. The Son of God had power to raise to life during his ministry here on earth. It happened. Romans 6, 9, we read that phrase that says, death hath no more dominion over him. In Romans 6, where we were reading there, we have victory over sin, we have spiritual victory to live a Christian life, and we also have victory over death. In closing, I'd like us to turn then to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'd like to read that passage that we have there on victory over sin and death. Victory over sin and death. I'm going to pick up at verse 42 to 44 and then jump over to 51, 1 Corinthians 15. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is the natural body, but then there is also the spiritual body. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There is a prayer that Paul prayed for the church in Ephesians chapter 3. And I would like to read this as a closing prayer for us today as we gather here together and we celebrate Trisha's baptism. I want us to all think back over to the time when we were baptized, and God wants us to walk in victory, and he wants to change us, he wants to grow. But he doesn't leave us alone. He's given us the Holy Spirit to work in and for us. It is Christ working in us and through us that makes us what he wants us to be. So bow your heads, close your eyes, and let's meditate on this prayer that was prayed for the Ephesian church and apply it in our own lives this morning. Ephesians chapter 3, 14 to 21. Just listen as I read. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might in his inner man, in the inner man, that Christ may be at home, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Jesus Christ, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. This morning we are